Let's pray together, may we? Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy great love to us. We thank Thee, Lord Jesus, for Thy care and keeping, and for the promises we cling to this moment, that as our days, so shall our strength be, that we're never alone and we're never forsaken, and goodness and mercy are with us this moment. Help me as I speak Thy word to speak the truth in love. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'd like you to take the word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of 2 Kings, the 19th chapter. And we'll begin reading in verse 1 of 2 Kings chapter 19. There's so much involved in this particular portion of Scripture. I'd like for you to take the time on your own, at your leisure, to read through chapters 18 and 19 and see the miraculous work of God, but we're going to try to find the secret to God's miraculous work, hoping that we can have it in our own lives and the life of our churches. If you'll follow along, please, as I read from 2 Kings chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there's not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I'd like you to take the time in the fourth verse of this 19th chapter to mark one word. It is the word remnant. Remnant. And may God by His Spirit give us understanding that we need to have concerning the subject of the remnant. When people talk about America and our time, our moment, I was born in 1948 and just celebrated my 70th birthday, and I'm very thrilled about it that God has let me live. And I can say now that I'm 70, I think that's wonderful, absolutely wonderful. I don't know how happy my wife is about it, but she's not there yet, and we're not going to let her get there. She's just going to live on and on and on and on and on at about 47, something like that. And that's the way people do when they get our age, right? But people talk about America, and one New York Times writer said, this is the age when the historians look at our time, when they consider the time in which we're presently living, they will make the reference like this. That was the time of the great unraveling. That was the time of the great unraveling. The institutional things that had stood for the centuries of our existence, those institutional things that stood for the time of our existence have unraveled. They exist no more. Someone else said, this is the age of compounded confusion. Now, we know the devil is the author of confusion, but they say this is the time of compounded confusion. We just use this? Is that what we're doing? Thank you. And so, compounded confusion. You and I see this on our daily run to things. We see the unraveling. We're beholding in our time at this particular decade things we never thought we would see. And we long for things to be made right, and we wonder how in the world that could ever happen. We think about our place in this time. What are we to do? What has God assigned to us? Well, we find such a time as that in this 19th chapter of 2 Kings. I want you to look at it with me. There's some very interesting things that Hezekiah sent to the prophet Isaiah. And he said to the prophet Isaiah certain things he wanted him to know. This group going to the prophet, and they said unto him in verse 3, "Thus saith Hezekiah, today is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth." That's an amazing statement. It involves the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the life of our nation. And so the king Hezekiah says, "Tell the prophet Isaiah, the children are come to the time of birth. They're fully formed, but they're going to die in the birth canal. There's not enough strength to deliver them. All the dreams and hopes we had as a nation, all the things God promised we would become as we obeyed Him, all the things we pray for and hope for are not going to come to pass. We've got them all formed in our mind and our thinking, but they're never going to come to birth. There's not strength to bring them to birth. They're going to die in the birth canal." We know in the physical makeup of a woman's body that there is a birth canal through which the child passes to enter into this world. And many times we hear of trouble and struggle in the birth canal. And occasionally, in the many years of ministry God has given me, I've been with people who have still had stillborn children, and the child somewhere coming through the birth canal has not made the journey. All hopes, all dreams were crushed. Here, the king says this to the prophet Isaiah. We know what God wants of us, but we're dying in the birth canal. And in utter desperation, with the enemy, the Assyrians, led by Sennacherib, at the wall of Jerusalem, screaming blasphemous things to the people actually on the wall of Jerusalem, threatening them and saying, "We've taken every other people group. We've destroyed every other nation. No God they have has been able to protect them. And you're not going to be able to stand." They've besieged the city now, and in great anger against the God of these Hebrews and against the southern kingdom of Judah, they're sworn to destroy the land of Judah and destroy the city of Jerusalem. And the king is now in sackcloth and ashes. His messengers are in sackcloth and ashes to see the prophet Isaiah. And as they go, this is the message they deliver to the prophet Isaiah. And he says with that, I want you to listen, "Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left." The only hope we have is the remnant. There's only one place to turn, and that's to God. And one people who will do that is the remnant. Pray that we keep the remnant moving. Pray for the remnant. I don't care how much of a vocabulary I could try to have and how well I could try to speak the truth in love to you concerning this subject, there's absolutely no way I can emphasize to you the importance of the remnant. America is protected by a wall of mercy from God at this moment, or she would be literally consumed apart from the remnant. There's a remnant that holds back the judgment of God. The same hand of God's judgment that rained forth fire and brimstone from heaven and consumed Sodom and Gomorrah is held back because of the remnant. I want to show you something in the book of Isaiah, if you'll take your Bible and turn there with me, please. because this is God's word. The reference is made, and God gives the summary of why Jerusalem was not destroyed. The word of God says in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 9, "Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant." I love the way the Lord words that for us. He left to us a very small remnant. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 9. We should have been as Sodom and should have been like unto Gomorrah. This glorious land of God given by promise to whom and through whom the world was to hear about the saving message of the Lord Jesus would be destroyed. And worse than that, would be nothing but a Sodom and Gomorrah. Who ever dreamed we'd live to see this day? We love all people. We are grateful to God for the opportunity to give the gospel to all people. But this is not a war against humanity. This is a war against God. Just as Rabshakeh stood for Sennacherib at the wall of the city of Jerusalem and blasphemed God and cursed God and said awful things against God, that's what this war in our country is all about. It's a war against God. And God said here of his ancient people, Judah, they would have been destroyed had not God left a remnant. Where's the remnant? In America. We must pray, as God says. If you go back with me to this passage, God says in 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 4, "Lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left." Sometimes we forget how God's work is done. So I want you to write down just a few things quickly, would you? First, the principle of the remnant. God always works through a remnant. Not a majority, but through a remnant. That's the way God's work is always done. And even among those of us in our churches, we're not all a part of that remnant. I'll tell you that a little later. But God works through a remnant. Look in your Bible, if you would, please, to when God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, which becomes a point of reference for all things forward. God literally rained forth fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. There's no doubt about it. And the Bible says when the visitation came to Abraham and the pre-incarnate Christ made an appearance to Abraham, he was telling Abraham what was going to happen in Sodom. And Abraham knew Lot was in Sodom. And remember this intercessory prayer that Abraham begins to make in the 18th chapter of Genesis. Would you look at it? He says, "Lord, shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" How can you destroy a people and wipe people from the face of the earth with fire and brimstone? And then he begins to plead with God like we should pray. He says, "Lord, if you could find 50 righteous people, if you could just find 50 righteous people, would you spare the cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah?" And the Lord said, "Yes. If I can find a remnant of 50 people, I will not destroy." And the Lord searched. He knows all things. His eyes are everywhere, beholding all things. And the report came back. There aren't 50. And so Abraham intercedes again. He finally gets down to 40 and 30 and 20, down to 10. If there's just 10 righteous people in Sodom, will you destroy it? Surely the God, the just God of all the earth, won't do that. And God said, "If I can find 10 righteous, I will not destroy it." But he couldn't find the righteous 10. Again, in the days of the prophet Elijah, would you look at that, please? In the book of 1 Kings, Elijah is now discouraged after a great battle on Mount Carmel. and he's declaring that he's the only one that's serving the Lord. The battle has been won. The gods of Jezebel and wicked Ahab have been defeated. The false prophets have been not only killed, their religion has suffered such a blow that it can't continue to exist in the same strength. But Elijah is a weak, hurting man. He even gets to the place where he prays to die. Interestingly enough, he's one of the characters in the Bible who never died. Just got caught out in a fiery chariot to be with the Lord. But one of the comments he made, he said, "I'm the only one left." I know how you can feel that way sometimes. But listen to what God said. God said in the 18th verse of the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." God said, "You don't know it, Elijah, as much as I've revealed to you. You don't know it. But I've got a righteous remnant of 7,000 throughout this land who are living the life that I can bless and pour my blessings out upon continually. And they're holding back the judgment of wicked Queen Jezebel and awful King Ahab upon this land. And I don't know where they are. You don't know where they are, and we don't know who they all are. But maybe there's a few of them in New Mexico, and a few of them in Washington, D.C., of all places. Maybe there's a few of them in New England, in the 600 or so churches of like faith we have in that part of the world. Maybe there's some in this area, perhaps some among you, and you're doing more than living for God. You're doing more than carrying on the work of God. You're holding back the judgment of Almighty God for another day of mercy upon our land, because God is seeing the righteous remnant." How important. This principle of the remnant is something in our everyday work that we ought to see. You can take a Sunday school class that's dying and get two or three people in it that want to live for God, do God's work, and it'll be resurrected. You can find a church that's on its last breath, and God sends the right man, the right family, and a remnant, a very small remnant, he'll begin to bless and use in a mighty way. You see, we don't do battle like the world does battle. We don't do battle like the people who don't know God do battle. We don't match flesh with flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. And God says it's a spiritual thing. It's about the remnant. It's about the remnant. What you need is to have a rising of the remnant, and the remnant rise up, and they'll attract others and others and others. And this principle of the remnant is seen in our work. I've seen it through half a century, how God can use a very small group of people. And I tell these young preachers going out to pastor churches, to start churches, you're going to find in every church a remnant of people who love God and want to do the right thing. Let's see the preparation for the remnant. I can't even tell you who they are. I want to be one of them, do you? But look what God says in the preparation for this. Please, in chapter 18 again, in 2 Kings chapter 18. "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign." What's God doing? Ahaz is wicked. The daddy is as wicked as you can be. Everything he does is against God. The land of Judah, to be the most holy place on earth, is filled with more unholy things than any other place on earth. And so, 20 and 5 years old was he when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abba, and the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. When you find remnant people, you find them living under the ruling presence of God. They're not just Christians on Sunday. They're not just identifying with Christ on occasion. They live under the ruling presence of the Lord God. They're close to God. This is how God prepared. You say, well, what a father he had, a wicked father. If you study Bible characters, you're going to find that his father was one of the most wicked men that ever lived. And here his son was this way. You see, God is always working. He's always working. There are two types of preparation you and I do. Every one of us, two types of preparation we do. We do deliberate things that we know we ought to do. And there's that deliberate preparation, but there's also divine providential preparation. Things God allows into our lives that make us who we are. And it's always the Lord. It's the Lord making something wonderful out of something bad we've had to deal with. There's no greatness for God. No greatness for God without trouble. Born in the spirit of Jesus Christ. When you feel sorriest for some people because of their circumstances, remember if they bear that, whatever it is, in the spirit of Christ, they're going to become strong and stronger and stronger. On the outside, you may see them growing weak, but on the inside, they're ascending to God. And God is doing something to draw them so close to himself. You know, I have had 9 reconstructive spine surgeries and a metal neck, and told I couldn't walk 25 years ago. But the truth of the matter, it's all a gift from God. All of it. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And you see, it can be turned inside out, and God can use it in a mighty way. How does God prepare his strong people? He gave Hezekiah the worst of fathers and the worst of times in which to live. Let's read on just a little bit. And the Bible says, he removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For under those days, the children of Israel did burn incense to it and called it Nehushtan. It's really nothing. That's what the name means. But for almost 8 centuries, these people carried this brazen serpent that was created in the day when the children of Israel were being bitten by poison serpents and dying, and they raised up this brazen serpent. Still the image of medicine. They raised up this brazen serpent. But now it wasn't something to remember something great God had done. It was done in place of God. They worshiped the serpent. And the first thing King Hezekiah did, God gave him courage to go in, clean out the temple, repair the places of God, tear down the false altars, and break in pieces this image of the brazen serpent that they had passed along for centuries so it could never be worshipped again. And God's going to challenge you, and he'll challenge me with tough decisions that must be made. God must be honored. You say, where do I get the courage? The courage will come out of your faith. And as you exercise it, that faith, it'll become stronger and stronger. The Bible says in verse 6, he clave to the Lord. Verse 8, the Lord was with him. This man's life was the Lord. He clave to the Lord. And so when it came battle time, can you imagine what you would do if you were the king of Judah and the enemy is at the wall, at the gate? They've besieged the city. Sennacherib had surrounded the city of Jerusalem with his army, cut off water, cut off everything. They're going to plan to starve them out. And Hezekiah didn't make a decision to fight Sennacherib or to do battle with him. That was a difficult thing to do. You know, stand still and see the salvation of God. The battle is the Lord's. Who talks like that? We may have been extended an opportunity for certain things with our present president, but only extended an opportunity. He is not the answer. We must seize the moment and preach the gospel and rally as God's remnant to do everything we possibly can. Move forward with the gospel at this moment. Not sit on our accomplishments. This is a great place, a great pastor, and a great church. The kind of place I would like for my wife to be a member of if I were not living. I hold it in that esteem. But God's work here is not finished. And the remnant must see that. The remnant in this church must see that. The remnant who are within this crowd must see that. And God is preparing you, as He always does, either with preparation that's deliberate or with divine providential preparation, things that God's allowed to you, and He's using those to not destroy you but to strengthen you. There's a third thing quickly, that's the prayer for the remnant. And in all the midst of this, He said, pray. And the very words of Scripture, He said, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. Concentrate your prayer. Get your prayer set. Know what to pray for. Oh, we're to pray for all men, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2. But in this crisis, the king and Isaiah are saying, stay true, stay true, stay true, stay true. If there was ever an hour not to fall away or to let up or to slip and slide or have a question about your convictions as a Christian, this is the wrong time for that. Stay strong in the Lord. Pray for the remnant. Oh God, Hezekiah said, God, keep the remnant strong, because that's who gets hold of the horns of the altar of God and gets God's aid to intercede and do what we cannot do in our own strength. And that's what happens. So Hezekiah sent this to Isaiah. Isaiah said, I've prayed. God's heard your prayer. Get to the temple and pray. And he prays. Look what he prays in verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. As God's people got more intense, the devil's people got more intense. So they wrote the worst of letters and sent it to him and said, you're finished. Everything about it. It's finished. You're over. But when he put the letter before the Lord, threw himself prostrate upon the floor and prayed. The Bible says in the 19th verse, now therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand. And look at the motive. That all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. We want you to do something only you can do for one reason, to bring glory to yourself. We just want to be an instrument. Does Beacon Baptist Church wanted to be an instrument? Is the remnant here still saying, we want to be an instrument that in this West Palm and coastal area and all around might know that God is still real and God is still changing lives and God is still providing all we need in himself? Is that what you want? By the way, all these Assyrians standing around threatening, look what happened to them. The Bible says in verse 35 of chapter 19, and it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 144,000 85,000. When they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. God killed 185,000 of them. And their war with Judah for that moment was over. We need more than just a little dab will do you. We honestly, people in our blessed country, need a miracle from God. And God will do it through the remnant, as he always has. So pray for the remnant. Seek after God. Live under God's ruling presence. And let this be one of those churches filled with people that God can look from heaven and say, that's part of my remnant. That's part of my remnant. You'll have some reproach for it, but identifying with Jesus will bring his power and his blessing upon your life. Let's bow in prayer, may we?
Father in heaven, bless this invitation. Thank you for the message that you have brought for such a time as this for us here. And thank you, God, for those who have responded with uplifted hands. You see them, you see their hearts, you see the heart of this church, and I pray that these words will resound in our hearts for a long, long time, bringing forth fruit that remains. For those who are not sure about salvation, convict them, Lord. Continue to use us, Lord, as instruments in your hand to bring them into the kingdom. We will praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.